Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us here at Trinity tonight. It is a great privilege to share in the celebration of Christ's first Advent with you this evening. May God's richest blessings be with each of you as you celebrate his coming and his soon return. Well, you know, on Christmas Eve, we often think and talk a lot about peace, don't we? We sing about it. We've sung about it tonight. We read comforting scripture passages that promise or point to peace. We even buy greeting cards or send each other memes and texts capturing our longing for peace, and we exchange those with each other. And yet, if we are honest, and as a pastor, I think I feel this especially this year, peace can be the very last thing that we often experience in our hearts and in our homes, especially this time of year. Look, chances are many of us here tonight in this room are carrying a heavy weight of worry and of anxiety, of grief or regret in our hearts, even as we try to force out of our lips expressions of peace. Some tonight feel the ache of broken relationships and unmet expectations. Others may feel the uncertainty of physical health or financial stress, or even vocational changes pressing in and squeezing out any hope at real and lasting peace. Well, I have good news for you tonight. Listen, the world into which our own Savior Jesus Christ was born was really no different than ours. It was a realm ruled by Rome, marked with violence, burdened by injustice, and particularly for some, weary with waiting for God's promise of peace. And yet into this restless, weary world, God did not send a policy. He didn't send a philosophy or even an army. He sent a baby. God sent a gift. The Bible puts it this way in Luke 2, verse 10 and following, that the angel said to those simple shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks at night, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Tonight we want to take just a few minutes to consider how Luke, uniquely, I think, as he's the only gospel writer that mentions this specific detail, and he does so twice in verse 7 of Luke 2 and also verse 12, how Luke draws attention to who Jesus is precisely by telling us how Jesus came. He came wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And then how God's messenger, the angel, tells us that this will be a sign to you. And so the question that this passage invites us to ask tonight, to ponder this evening, is what is this sign? What do these swaddling cloths really mean? And how does it reveal Jesus as God's gift of perfect peace to mankind, particularly among those with whom he is well pleased? Well, listen, the first feature that I think Luke would want us to ponder tonight for just a few moments to grasp is the fact that this promise and this gift of peace comes to us in a person. It comes to us in a child. Notice how the angel's announcement is thick with meaning. Again, the angel said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." A Savior, one who redeems, one who rescues you from distress. "He is Christ," the angel said. The word Christ, of course, is a transliteration of that word Messiah, one who is God's anointed ruler and king. He is also Lord. He is one who possesses both divine authority and great power, one we need to deal with this evening. Listen, the language here in Luke 2 is staggering. And yet the angel does not say, "Go find a throne." Instead, the angel says, "Go search for a baby." Even though there is more than a subtle hint, I think, of royalty and how this baby is from Bethlehem, that is, of course, the city of King David. Micah 5, some 400 years earlier, prophesied, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little among to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, and in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. And verse 5 says of Micah 2, and he shall be their peace. Peace in a person. Listen, friends, tonight, true peace doesn't begin with a quick fix or changed circumstances. It begins by encountering Jesus, by encountering the Christ child, the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul Tripp once famously said, peace is not found in a place. Peace isn't found in a plan or a package or even a possession, but rather in a person, one who redeems and one who rules your heart. This is why the heavenly angels radiantly rang out with a glad announcement of good news, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Because peace, even the Prince of Peace, had finally arrived in human form. And this is what we celebrate tonight. Isaiah 9, which we already heard earlier tonight, says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, and on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. You see, real biblical peace, even Yahweh's true shalom or peace, isn't simply the cessation of conflict. It is wholeness and harmony and true reconciliation with Almighty God. But that kind of peace can't be purchased at Walmart. You can't buy it on Amazon. Despite what my dad says, even though he says if you can't get it at Walmart, you don't need it, this peace can't be earned through human effort. This peace must be received as a gift. And that's the peace that God would have each of us to receive tonight. But secondly, this evening, notice another feature that's often overlooked. But Luke wants us to observe that God's gift of peace for humanity is humanity wrapped in humility. Again, this simple sign seems almost too obvious, too ordinary to hold any real significance. I wonder if you even noted it. Swaddling cloths. Look, I was 27 years old when I finally understood what swaddling was and why it was so important for a newborn. That's when Gabby came along. Parents, and if we're really being honest, typically mothers for thousands of years have used swaddling cloths to help their babies feel secure, to keep warm, and to stay safe. This is not a recent phenomenon. This is an ancient custom. In Bible times, these simple strips of fabric were commonly used to sweetly wrap up a new addition to the family. And that's partly the point. This was a human being, a common custom for a special baby. You see, here the Prince of Peace, the eternal Son of God, the one through whom all things were made, permitted himself to be wrapped in swaddling cloths by Mary's quivering and obedient hands. Think about that. This gift of peace came humbly and gently, not to a palace, but instead to a spare room in a stranger's home. But listen, here's something truly wonderful to think about tonight. This tiny, seemingly insignificant detail itself quietly whispers the whole reason for Christmas. The angel told the shepherds, yes, I said to shepherds, that he will be wrapped in swaddling cloths. This sounds ordinary, but it wasn't. Listen, to first century shepherds, probably young boys, swaddling cloths were not just about warmth, they were also about protection. They were about purpose, and maybe specifically to the shepherds, they were about sacrifice. There is a long-standing Jewish tradition that lambs, destined for sacrifice in the temple were kept and guarded from the moment they were born, very often, perhaps even in Bethlehem, some 6 miles away to the south. These little lambs were protected by linen cloths from bruising because even one tiny blemish disqualified them from being an acceptable sacrifice at the temple. And so when the angels pointed shepherds to a baby wrapped tightly in cloths, it's possible they weren't just giving directions, they were teaching theology. They were sending a message. This will be a sign for you. See, Jesus, Mary's little lamb, God's only begotten son, was born with a special purpose written into his story. Not survival, rather humble, willing sacrifice, even from the cradle. The Apostle Paul, a number of decades later, would write, reminding us in Ephesians 2, 13 and following, "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us, both Jew and Gentile, both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off, and peace to those who were near." Jesus came on a mission of making peace. Yes, the Prince of Peace was a preacher of peace. And more importantly, he came to provide peace for you and for me by laying down his life at the cross. You can't talk about the cradle without also thinking about the cross. See, the Apostle Peter would write also, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake, for the sake of you who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are now in God." Friend, listen to me tonight. Luke's gospel, right here in chapter 2, quietly plants a seed of thought that will bloom 33 years later at the cross and after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Luke 2:14 again reads, "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." While there's nothing extraordinary about the infant Jesus being wrapped in swaddling cloths, it's that next detail, the point that the angel says you'll find the baby lying in a manger, that was certainly highly unusual, to say the least. Look, unless this is your first Christmas Eve service, and if it is, we are delighted that you're with us, you likely know that a manger is simply an ancient feeding trough for animals. Jesus' manger was likely made out of wood, but probably more so likely out of stone. And maybe most importantly, it was a borrowed place. Obviously, not the kind of place where princes and kings are really supposed to be found. But in God's wisdom, it was precisely the kind of place to teach shepherds and seekers a truth that transforms fear and disappointment into peace and lasting joy. In the words of Charles Spurgeon, "He who was to be the bread of life was laid in a manger, that he might show that he came to feed the hungry." You see, the manger reminds us that Jesus meets us in our need, not in our self-sufficiency. The shepherds, uneducated, outcast, overlooked, probably even unfit. To shepherds, they were the first invited guests to go and welcome heaven's gift of peace. Peace that comes from God is not heralded in penthouses or palaces, but rather out in lowly pastures to normal people like you and me. This is peace that stoops down to serve. It welcomes the weak, the worn out, and the weary. This peace doesn't require you to clean yourself up first in order to come to God. In fact, it says you get cleaned up by coming to believe in heaven's little bundle of lavish grace and joy. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Some of you might know where I'm going, because the truth of the matter is, Jesus's human body was not only wrapped once, it was wrapped twice, wrapped in swaddling cloths. See, Jesus was wrapped in cloths at his birth and laid in a borrowed manger, and then years later, after his crucifixion, the Lord Jesus was wrapped again and laid in a borrowed tomb. Luke 23 tells us that Joseph of Arimathea, a noble man and follower of Jesus, who was looking for the kingdom of God, asked Pilate for the body of Jesus, and then the text says in Luke 23, 53, then he took the body down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever been laid. Note the striking details. Cherish the significance. His body wrapped in cloth, laid in a borrowed place. You see, I think the manger and the tomb are meant to be firmly fixed and fused in our minds. Jesus was born in order to die. The cradle was always meant to prepare a people for the cross. John Piper said it well when he said, "The reason Jesus was born was to die. Good Friday exists because Christmas exists." Listen, the peace announced by the angels was never meant to be schmaltzy, never meant to be merely sentimental. It's not meant to be placed on Hallmark cards. It's a matter of heaven and hell. It was meant to help us, sinful people, be saved from a holy God. The message of Christmas is that this world cannot save itself. It needs a Savior. This is why Jesus came already gift-wrapped, in perfect humanity, prepared for the high cost of your redemption and mine. From his very first breath, love was already moving towards sacrifice. God is always in the details. Here in Luke 2, here in the Christmas story, here in the promise of the gospel for your life and for mine tonight. But like any gift, beloved, it must be accepted and open in order to be any real good for you. Notice one final time as I close the announcement of the angels in verse 11. It says, "For unto you is born." Make it personal tonight. See, this gift of peace is a present that must be received personally. If you would have Christ, Charles Spurgeon said again, you must take him as God gives him, wrapped in humility and crowned with thorns. There are no exchanges with this gift. There are no trade-ins. There are no receipts taped on this gift. Jesus was God's gift to us. What we do with him is our gift back to God. Verse 14 says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." God's gift of peace is available to all. We are to herald it far and wide. But the angel's praise reminds us of one all-important qualification. I wonder if you caught it. Peace among those with whom he is pleased. I wonder, have you been good this year? Which list are you on? By the way, I called Santa on Monday. Those of you who were here on Sunday and you heard the fire truck go by and Santa on the fire truck. I'm not joking. I called on Monday. And I asked Santa to possibly change his schedule next year in 2026. And that's probably going to land me on the naughty list, to be honest with you. But I'm talking about a different list. Look, the only way to be on the list, and I mean the list that truly matters, a list of those who have been declared and made righteous in Jesus Christ, is to come to God in faith. The scripture says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Maybe you're wondering tonight as you come to this Christmas Eve service, is there anything about my life that pleases the Lord? Maybe you come week after week to this church or a church, and you still aren't convinced that you have God's smile upon you. See, the truth is, Christmas doesn't bring eternal peace to everyone. It brings the offer of peace, but sadly, so many reject it. But Christmas does bring peace, peace that you can touch, peace that you can know both today and forever for those who trust in it, those who trust in Jesus. Luke 2, 34 and 35 says, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Jesus came to his own, and as we heard in John this month, his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It was to desperate disciples, longing for the peace of Jesus' presence, that he said in John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." The key that unlocks the treasure chest of Christ's peace is simply humble faith in the promises of God. Do you have that faith tonight? Paul prays in Romans 15, 13, "May the God of hope fill you all with joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." And we, and I, and you trust in God's promises in order to have joy and peace and love that comes through Jesus Christ alone. And that gives him great, great pleasure. So friends, tonight the Prince of Peace was wrapped for us and came at Christmas. Think about that tomorrow as you're tearing into those gifts, that Jesus was wrapped for us. A baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a borrowed place. But his cradle was always meant to prepare us for the cross, just as Christmas was always meant to prepare us for Easter and Resurrection Sunday. A perfect man crucified and wrapped in strips of linen and laid in a borrowed tomb. But listen, because the tomb today is empty, our hearts tonight can be full of peace if, and that's a big if, we are really ready to believe. Would you bow with me as I pray? Almighty God and Father, we thank you for this service tonight, for this message tonight of Christ, who is your perfect gift of peace. Father, I pray that as your word has gone forth tonight in scripture reading and song and in this time of Christmas meditation from Luke chapter 2, that your Holy Spirit would accompany the word that the Spirit inspired, and that it would penetrate hearts, that it would search out those that are desperate, Lord, to have peace with you. Oh God, I pray that by your Spirit there might be somebody here tonight who lays hold of Christ with hands of trust. Father, you are so good, and you care about our anxieties, our grief, our worry. Cast all your anxiety upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Oh, Jesus, we praise you tonight. We remember all that you've done in your first coming, in your perfect ministry, and in your soon coming. We rejoice and we give you praise. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.